Luke is the book of the humanity of Jesus Christ. It has been called the most beautiful book in the world, the most comprehensive of the four Gospels, the longest and the most literary Gospel, the longest book in the New Testament, the Gospel of Prayer, and the Gospel of Womanhood. That's because no other Gospel gives such a large place to women. It has been said that Luke used more medical terms than Hippocrates, the father of medicine, and that more pictures have been painted from Luke than any other gospel. Luke was also an accurate historian. According to Sir William Ramsay, the famous archaeologist, Dr. Luke was a careful historian of remarkable ability. Let's look at this book and begin by asking, who was the author? The author does not identify himself by name. But from the earliest times, Luke has been universally recognized as the author. The internal evidence supports that tradition. The Gospel of Luke was written by a well-educated man. Luke's prologue, which includes the first four verses of the book, is the most classic piece of Greek in all of the New Testament. His content and vocabulary show that he had some interest in the physician's point of view. The medical language in both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts demonstrates the writer's interest in sickness and the sick, which is consistent with the author being a physician. Colossians 4:14 calls Luke the beloved physician, which also means that he was highly educated. There is a documentary hypothesis for the Synoptic Gospels, like there is for the Pentateuch. The critical view of the Synoptic Gospels, that is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, begins by assuming that Mark wrote first and that the others copied and supplemented that work with other material, which they call Q, which comes from the German word for source. Now, all that gets very interesting in the case of Luke because Luke says he used sources. He says that in the prologue. Is Luke dependent on Mark and some lost document named Q? What Luke is saying in the prologue and what modern critics are saying about Luke are two vastly different things. Luke is saying, many have written a narrative of the life and ministry of Christ. Notice, these were written sources. Secondly, his information comes from reliable sources. He calls his sources eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. In the Greek text, there's one article indicating that these are not two different groups, but one group. Notice, there was oral sources. Thirdly, his knowledge went back over a number of years. He said he had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. Based on this, it is safe to assume that Luke had associated with the apostles and eyewitnesses and possible with personal friends of the Lord. So what Luke says about using sources is radically different than the critical view. Luke wrote the gospel that bears his name after doing extensive research. So, let's admit, because Luke said so, that he used sources. But that does not mean that he uses the Gospel of Mark as a source. On the contrary, Luke says that he went to eyewitnesses. As we have seen, Mark wrote what Peter preached. And by the way, I need to mention that using sources does not invalidate the doctrine of inspiration. Some Old Testament authors use sources. Remember, revelation is truth revealed. Inspiration is truth recorded. Illumination is truth understood. Let's ask, who received this book? No one knows for certain when the Gospel of Luke was written. It is certain that it was written before the book of Acts. We base that on what is said in Acts chapter 1. Acts was written probably around 62 AD in Rome. Many have concluded that Luke wrote his gospel toward the end of Paul's Caesarea imprisonment, that is, about 59 A.D. For the 2 years while Paul was in prison, Luke had opportunity to interview eyewitnesses throughout Palestine. Luke addresses his first volume to Most Excellent Theophilus. The name Theophilus was common among Jews and Greeks. The little phrase, most excellent, was an official title. Beyond that, nothing is known about Theophilus. He was no doubt a believer who needed instruction and confirmation. Though it is not stated, the book is obviously written for others beyond Theophilus. In Greek, the preface is written in classical style, which implies that what follows was meant for circulation. From the content of the book, we can see that it was written for Gentiles in general and Greeks in particular. The genealogy of Christ is traced to Adam, not Abraham. Gentile words are used in place of Jewish terms. For example, Luke uses the word teacher for rabbi, lawyer for scribe. Jewish customs and geography are explained. Matthew wrote to the Jews, Mark wrote to the Romans, Luke wrote to the Greeks, probably around 59 A.D. The next question is, what is the subject of this book? The subject of Luke is Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Luke presents Jesus Christ as perfect humanity, the ideal man. Luke does not minimize Christ's deity or redemptive suffering, but he does focus on the humanity of Christ, who was the Son of Man as well as the Son of God. A proper assessment of Christ must include both his divine and human natures. The particulars paint the picture of Christ's humanity. For example, Luke puts Christ in the context of history. John begins, in the beginning was the Word, placing Christ in eternity past before he invaded time. Luke starts with the birth of John the Baptist, which is not recorded by either Matthew or Luke. Three times in the early chapters, Luke notes political rulers at the moment, again putting the story in historical perspective. Secondly, the genealogy traces Christ's lineage to Adam. Matthew develops the line back to Abraham and stops because he's writing to the Jews about their Messiah. Luke traces Christ's lineage to Adam because he's writing to Gentiles about the Son of Man. His lineage emphasizes human descent, not the royal line. Thirdly, Luke alone records Christ's human growth and development. He was subject to his parents. Fourthly, throughout the book, Christ is seen as having the feelings, the sympathies, the power of a man. He rejoices in the Holy Spirit. He weeps over the city. He prayed more earnestly, and his sweat becomes, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. So the subject of Luke is Jesus Christ is the Son of Man, and the particulars paint a vivid picture of the humanity of Christ. What is the structure of the Gospel of Matthew? How does the author take the subject, Jesus as the Son of Man, and develop that in his book? There is a sense in which Matthew, Mark, and Luke have the same structure. Each begin with Christ's temptation and baptism, and then record Christ's great Galilean ministry. Of course, they all end in Jerusalem with the crucifixion and the resurrection. So the literary structure of Luke, like Matthew and Mark, is topical, and yet it's geographical. There is no repeated phrase, as in Matthew, except in one section of the book. Matthew and Mark devote much material to the Galilean ministry, and only a short space, two chapters in Matthew and one in Mark, for the journey from Galilee to Jerusalem. In contrast, Luke spends 10 chapters chronicling the trip to Jerusalem, and that's the longest part of his story. 7 times. Within the extended section, Luke mentions something about the fact that Christ was headed toward Jerusalem. So what's a good outline for Luke? Well, there is a preface, as I've mentioned. It's in the first 4 verses. And after that, we have a section that could be called the preparation for the Son of Man. Begins in 1:5 and goes to 4:13. Then we have the Galilean ministry of the Son of Man in 4:14 through 9:50. The journey to Jerusalem of the Son of Man in 9:51 to 19:20. The Jerusalem ministry of the Son of Man, 19:21 through 21:38. And finally, the passion and resurrection of the Son of Man in 22, 23, and 24. In other words, the subject of this book is that Jesus is the Son of Man. And the structure or outline of the book shows how the Son of Man was prepared for the ministry. It then gives his Galilean ministry, his journey to Jerusalem, and his ministry in Jerusalem. What is the purpose of this book? One of the purposes of Mark is to confirm and verify the true record of the life of Christ, especially to Gentile believers. The prologue gives the purpose of the book. Luke wrote that Theophilus and other Gentile believers might know for certainty the things in which they were instructed. The verb, translated instructed, is generally used in the New Testament for information, which is imparted formally rather than casually. Perhaps this includes the stopping of false rumors. In confirming the facts about Christ, he is seen as the Son of God who became the Son of Man. Luke wrote to the Greeks. The Greek ideal of perfect manliness differed from that of the Romans. The Romans felt that it was their mission to govern. The Greeks felt that it was theirs to educate, elevate, and perfect man. The ideal to the Romans was military glory and governmental authority. But the Greek ideal was wisdom and beauty. Luke wanted to confirm the record to strengthen their faith. So he wrote about the divine man as the savior of mortal men. The perfect man died for imperfect humanity. Another purpose of Luke is to show that Christianity was not politically subversive. The Gospel of Luke is volume 1 in a 2-volume set. Luke wrote volume 2, the book of Acts, to defend Christianity from political charges. Perhaps that is part of what is going on here. He records Pilate's acknowledgement of Christ's innocence 3 times. Let's sum it all up. Luke presents Jesus as the Son of Man who came to seek and to save in order to confirm the record and thus the faith of Gentile readers. The spiritual truth for us is that followers of the Son of Man should, like him, seek to see others saved. Remember, Luke is the book of the humanity of Jesus Christ.